So it behooves us and invites us to learn what honor is. And he says, but I will despise those who think lightly of me. Now, this is God talking through the prophet Samuel to the people. In this case, he was talking to the Levite tribe, the priest. You think, man, the ministry should have all the perks and benefits. No, he put the honor law above your position, your prestige, your performance. Honor is a big deal. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so he's telling us that this is God's honor principle. Now, the second scripture, here's, we're going to give you a couple of them in front. Proverbs 3:35, New Living Translation. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. So he gives us a comparison and contrast. Wise people inherit honor. Listen to me very closely. It's good to go to heaven with some honor that you've inherited while you're here on earth. It's not good to leave this earth, and this, like we always say in the military, it's not good when you leave the military with a dishonorable discharge. Praise the Lord. Romans 14:8, New Living Translation. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. So now he puts in a whole sweeping, encompassing command. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. Now, we talked about it. How many of you heard that when I was talking about dying 101? We were talking about, has anybody taught you how to die? We talked about it Sunday. If we die, we're to honor the Lord. Amen. And I don't know if we had just a glitch in views, but we had almost 200 people views on Sunday. But I know we were talking about death because a lot of people are afraid of death, afraid of dying. But a lot of times Christians don't know how to die. They haven't learned. Praise the Lord. All right. He said, if we live, we live to the honor of the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to who? Whatever you're going on in your life between those two extremes, living and dying, we belong to the Lord. Everybody say, I belong to the Lord. All right, Romans 12:10, this time out of the Passion Translation, the TPT. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow brothers, believers, as members of one family. So this is an assignment. I have to be devoted. So we always talk about growing in spiritual devotion. I got to be devoted to God, loving God, but also loving people. Now, we can't say, well, I'm loving God more, and it doesn't correlate and translate to us loving people more or better. Some people think, I'm getting along with God real good. I'm having my quiet time. I'm praying in the spirit. But if you're mean and nasty with other people, you're not getting along with God very well, because that's just indication my relationship with God is a little flawed or fractured. Amen. Anyone, he says, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow brothers and sisters as member of one family. Some people are devoted to just their natural family, but he said, be devoted to your spiritual family. That means we got to get better and better at loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you're trying to outdo. So he's not saying it's a competition, but it should be a motivation. That we try to outdo each other in two things, respect and honor. John 12:26, New Living Translation, says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now look at how this plays out. If I'm serving Jesus, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to follow money. I'm not going to follow just family. I'm going to follow who? I'm going to follow Jesus. So we sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Right? Remember that new song? Goodbye yesterday. I'm living in a night. He said, I have decided, one of the vamps or the courses, I have decided to follow Jesus. What have you? Because Jesus is saying, if you're serving me, you're going to have a relationship with me. I don't want to have a long-distance relationship with me. You got to serve me with your what? Your time, your talent, your treasure, your testimony. Come on now. Without what? Hesitation, reservation, or limitation. That means I'm following him 24/7, 365. Now, this chart on the side, this listing here, is what we want to give you up front as we navigate through this honor segment of our teaching on relationships. We want you to always understand these seven things. Go back. These seven areas that we are to walk in honor. I believe that the priority, listed in order of priority, number one, we must honor the word. So we said, my honor walks in line and growing. So that means we're growing in our honor to the word of God. If we're saying I'm honoring God, these are the seven things that represent that. We honor the word of God. That means when the word is taught, preached, we honor it by going back and doing what? Endeavoring. We said it on our anniversary Sunday. Endeavoring to do what the word says. Because remember when Jesus was rebuking some of the Pharisees and hypocrites, and Isaiah said it, these people, he was quoting Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They don't honor me with their life. So when you hear the word, you honor it. So the question is sometimes, do we honor the word of God enough? Do we go back home and look at our notes or look at the handouts and go through the word and say, the word of God is what? First place, final authority in my life. If the word said it, that's what I intend to do. Amen. I'm a doer of the word. I'm not a forgetful hearer. So we honor the word. That's the first area of honor. And when we talk about Christian relationships, you honor God by saying, honor what the word's been, you've been taught in the word. So the question begs us, do we honor the word enough? Can we grow in honoring the word of God? And if we look at the practical expressions of our daily life, you know, is the word the first thing you read and hear? Do you get into the word and get that think time? You go back and listen to the message. You look at the notes of what the Holy Spirit nudged your heart during a service and you made note of it. That means I'm honoring the word that the Holy Spirit highlighted to my heart. The Holy Spirit nudged me about this area, and I honor it enough. You think about the areas of your life that may be a struggle, healing, finances, maybe a relationship. You honor what? You honor the word enough. And you say, the second one, Holy Spirit, help me live in the light of this truth. You know, if you're struggling financially, or if you're struggling with fear, you're struggling with the fear even paying your, bringing your tithes. How do you honor the word? How do you know you honor the word? I say, Lord, I know you said do it, but help my unbelief. Help me get rid of this fear and reservation and hesitation not to fully honor your word. Amen. We honor the word. We put those scriptures in our mouth and in our ears. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. So I'm going to get faith and confidence. I'm going to change and get out the doubt, the fear, the unbelief by the word. I'm going to honor the word enough. But if I honor my own feelings and my own fears, I'm going to lean on that instead of lean on and invest in the word. Now, you see honor in that category. And see, that's how God looks at things. He looks at, do you honor my word? Because me and my word are one. So if you don't care about the word, you don't care about feeding and exercising the word, that means you're reading not with your mouth closed, not with just your mind. It's just not a mental exercise. It is a putting the word through your ears so that your spirit can be fed, reading out loud. And then you exercise that word. You speak that word. I need to build faith for finances. I need to build faith for healing. You know, the people that, you know, we always encourage people when they're going to surgery, you know, like the Lord told me, you know, build your faith up. Get your at least 10 scriptures that you keep in your heart, in your mind, and in, out of your mouth, coming in and out of your mouth every day leading up to that procedure. If you got doctors and they're doing lots of tests on you, you need to be in the word. What kind of word? The healing word. That means you're showing God by your lifestyle, not just your lips. I honor you, Lord. I honor your word. And then I honor the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And as we taught earlier this year, January and February, the Holy Spirit is also our counselor. He's our medical advisor. So we should honor the Holy Spirit and say, am I missing something? Is there something I need to bring in to help my faith? But see, people don't realize, as we talk, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to talk unless you say something to him. You got to honor his presence. You got to honor his potential to help you with anything and everything that concerns you. But we got to honor the Holy Spirit. We got to tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need to hear from you. I need to help you. He's not going to bop you over the head because he doesn't deal with condemnation. He always brings Jesus on the scene of your life. He always brings the blood of Jesus. He always brings mercy and the righteousness of God. He's not coming and clubbing you with judgment. Sometimes we think, well, I'm messing up, so the Holy Spirit will be mad at me. I'm going to avoid. Remember we said that a couple of weeks ago. One of the things that people do is pretend. They because of that shame and fear and hiding, they pretend and they hide. You can't hide from the Holy Spirit because he's right inside of you. Why hide from him? Honor the Holy Spirit. All of us should have the latest conversation with the Holy Spirit in our heart and on our mind. When we walked in tonight, and those online, and when you walked into your house this evening, you should have the latest conversation between you and the Holy Spirit in your heart and on your mind. I mean, seven times he said in Revelations to all the seven churches, he that has an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. We honor the Holy Spirit by listening to him because he's an expert. He created the universe. with God the Father and God the Word, or God the Son, before we were even around. He knows everything about anything. He's supposed to be our partner. Praise the Lord. So you think about just those two areas. Do we honor the Holy Spirit? Or are we too busy trying to figure out and solve our own problems? When he's an expert at knowledge, he's an expert at procedure and protocol. He knows exactly how to pray when we don't know how to. He's an expert in persuasive speaking ability. He knows what words to say, what words to prophesy, what words to speak. What shall we say to these things? What shall I say about these things? But we trust in our mind and we trust in our own flesh and we lean on that. Do we honor the Holy Spirit enough? Where he's our close friend, he's our close partner, closer than if you're married, a spouse sleeping next to you in bed. He's closer than your pillow that you lay your head. You have to honor the Holy Spirit. Get so sensitive and get so aware that when you're walking in, the Holy Spirit wants to say something, you don't interrupt him, because that's disrespectful. You yield to him. The Spirit wants to say something. The Spirit wants to show me something. See, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself. But he's always going to bring that gentle, hey, I want to tell you about this. I want to make you aware of this. He's always on. And if you get the Holy Spirit, sometimes I've had to tell us, okay, Holy Spirit, can you slow down just a little bit so I can catch up with everything you're saying? Sometimes he'll wake me up and preach my sermon before I even write it up. He helped you with your sermon. You got to honor the Holy Spirit. You got to honor the Word. Look what else. You got to honor your fathers and mothers. And for those that have in-laws still living, you got to honor your in-laws. Praise the Lord. Honor our spouse. Big deals. This is our honor wall. Honor ministry gifts, spiritual leaders. Why? Because they're God's voice and vessel that he uses to speak to you. He's the manifestation and the visitation of God in your midst. And when you think of a spiritual gift, you think, okay, I'm getting visited by God. Nobody in the ministry is a God per se. You know, I'm not a God, but I'm speaking the words from God. Honor the pastor. Honor the spiritual gifts. You got to honor civil authorities. I know people get messed up because they side more as a Republican than they do as a Christian. They side more as a Democrat than they do a Christian. They forgot who they are, right? They lost their identity. And Christians don't speak evil of people. Even if they're doing evil, we're not the judge. And it's sad to say, you know, a lot of times on Facebook, people post ministers' failures or ministers' shortcomings, and they forward stuff from other preachers or other politicians that have done wrong. Why are we doing that? Why are we not honoring civil authorities? Are we hip hip hooray because they got indicted or they got impeached or they got caught in their lies and they got put in jail or they're being sentenced or they're being fined millions of dollars? Are we rejoicing over evil? Do we honor civil authorities? Come on, y'all. People turn on people because of taxes and tariffs and stuff that's going on. They say, well, you hurting me, so I dishonor you now. It's a whole bunch of dishonor and disrespect out there. Because their stock prices went down. And we got to dishonor now. Dishonor who's in charge. They think one man is in charge of pushing the buttons, or he's making it go down. Yet they're dishonoring civil authorities. What about our employers? And I misspelled that, so forgive me. That should be employers, not employees. But you do honor your fellow employees, but you honor your employer. And if you're in business, you're business partners. Right? Every time, get in the car, Holy Spirit reminds me. You pray for your boss. You pray for your supervisors. You pray for your fellow managers. We got to grow in our honor walk. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, let's look at the chart. Thank you, John. Let's take it to the next slide. All right, so here's a spectrum or expressions of honor. And we're going to be talking about this pretty much the whole month, so just sit back and relax and take the notes. This is actually on CCB, so if you're not been habitually checking CCB or pulling up stuff, it's out there already. You have the whole presentation. Praise God. Isn't that good? So you can take it, print it, and study it, or review it on your own. Praise God. All right, so so think about this. These five words kind of express a whole spectrum of honor. So how you treat, how do you respect, deferring to people, holding people with a certain value, not devaluing them, because that's the opposite, but valuing them, and esteeming them. So if you come down the line, treat with great consideration, care, courtesy, and compassion. And you'll hear me say it again here in a minute, but honor is how I treat you. It's not how you treat me. So the world tells you, and the American culture says this, if you treat me right, I'm going to treat you right. But that's not what honor says. Honor says this, how I treat you. How I see you. And if we would number people, you would say when people put people in categories, because they do that. If you stay on social media long, everybody's being put in a category, a class, or a different culture. You know, how many, we're still in 2025, there's still, you know, racial biases. It's silly, but it's still there because the devil's there, right? It's still the poor versus rich, Democrat versus Republican, you know, this culture versus that culture. It's all the divisionary work of the devil. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But how do I see you? That just use a numbering system. We shouldn't, but there are two. And your scale is 1 to 10. I put a 2 label on them. That means I'm going to treat them like a 2. I'm not going to treat them like a 10. And when you think honor in the church, you have to see people through the eye of faith, and you have to see their potential, not their problems. See, this is when you know you're growing in honor, when you're not seeing people's problems and their little petty differences. And you say, well, I'm not going to talk to them. I'm going to cut them off. Because to me, they're a 2. I'm a 7 or 8, so I don't need to be dealing with them. But that's not what the scripture says. Can you say amen to that? Honor is how I treat you. Not how you treat me. And parents get it twisted sometimes with their kids because the kids get adults and they don't want to treat their children as adults and talk to them as adults. And so there's a little bit of dishonor goes on. There's a little bit of disrespect goes on because, you know, their adult children talk to them like they should, like adults, and they get their feelings ruffled. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And they don't know how to pivot and transition. They still think that's my baby. They're 35 years old. How did your baby? They didn't have your babies. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so honor starts in the heart, but it starts at the house. How do you see your kids? How do you see your grandkids? How do you treat them? Well, they don't respect me. That doesn't matter. How do you see them? How do you treat them? It's your honor walk that God's looking at. Because he said, those who honor me, I'm going to honor them. And those that despise me, be lightly esteemed. That means they're not going to get much honor. And sometimes we think, well, you know, a lot of people don't treat me right. I don't have good friends, and people don't respect my wishes and this and that. And, you know, and they complain and complain about that. Well, how are you getting along with God? How are you getting along with his word? How are you treating the Holy Spirit? How do you treat your boss, your business partners? In the context of us who are, you know, some of you don't have a job or retired, how do you treat the people you serve with at church? Do you disregard and disrespect them? I'm just thinking about myself. I'm just doing my thing. You know, like we said last night on the leadership call, if you're on there, you know, when you don't communicate, when you don't connect with people, because you're a body, you're not single, you're not independent, you're not isolated. When you think body, I got to walk in love and honor here. I got to walk in respect here. And I can't just not tell people that I'm not going to serve in something I volunteered to serve. It's how you treat, how you see. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So you respect greatly. Honor and respect are magnetic and attractive. You respect them. You respect who Jesus is and the gift of God in them. Amen. You look at people through the lens not of fear or flesh. You look at people through the eye of faith. I see your potential. That's why sometimes I challenge. Like, you know, you and I had a conversation about that. If you're struggling in the area, we challenge. Let's get in the word together. Let's agree. Let's not sit back and whine and complain about it. Amen? Because I respect you enough not to leave you in the dirt. Because you got great potential. I need you. Amen? Dishonor and disrespect are unattractive and repulsive. Unfortunately, that's why there's too much marital infidelity and affairs and disloyalty, even amongst Christians. Because they gravitate to where there's respect and honor. They run away from things that are disrespectful and dishonorable. Praise the Lord. And then you got deference. You got to yield to. Treat with deference and courtesy. You know, like when we were eating lunch with Pastor Hagin, and when he wanted to talk to us about something, we had mentioned to him. And Pastor Hagin, when he wants to talk, I shut up. We defer to him. Why? Because he's over us in the Lord. I'm not there to run his ear off. I'm there to listen to what he has to say. I defer to him. I defer to Mrs. Hagin, Pastor Trina, Pastor Mark. I let them talk. One time I was up in Fredericksburg with Pastor Mark, and everybody was talking about sports and this, and they just chit-chatting. And I said, here's a man of God that's been all the world, and he has gold mines inside of him. And I asked him a question. He didn't answer anything until I asked him. And I just took notes. I said, you mind if I use my phone to take notes? I just took notes of everything he said. I deferred to him. And the more I took notes and more I asked questions, the more he talked. I want there to run my mouth. Praise God. Praise God. Now, there was a situation, an example, when Brother Hagin was was asked to come to a meeting and speak with a pastor who was having a lot of problems, a lot of pressure in his church, a lot of issues going on in his church, and he wanted an audience with Brother Hagin. So he said, okay, I'll meet with you. So we met with him, and they had a couple other guys with there, and but the pastor who had the problem, he never shut up. Now here you got the leading prophet in the body of Christ sitting in front of you, and you running your lips. And when he did slow down, Brother Hagin just said, "A man gets what he believes for in life, nothing more, nothing less." He said, "Yeah, but lack of deference. I don't take what you say seriously. I don't count what you say. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to still keep talking." Kept talking, kept talking, breathed again. Brother Hagin said, "Man gets what he believes for in life, nothing more, nothing less." Step talking again. Yeah, but. After his third iteration of keep talking, Brother Hagin got up and shaked his hand. "Thank you. Nice to meet with you." Walked out. Then he's mad, huffy puffy, saying, "He didn't help me." Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And the valuable. Do you treat as valuable or invaluable? As precious, priceless, or Amen. Esteem highly in manner of dignity. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Let's go to the next slide. Y'all getting something out of this? Okay. So we're currently in a cultural crisis. And the reason we're talking about it is the Lord wants us to tighten up things and to get better, because he wants to flow and flourish better and bigger in our church services and our gatherings and meetings together. Praise God. So the question is, what happened to honor? Is it getting better or getting worse? So we live in a dishonoring and disrespectful culture. You just need to be on Facebook for about 10 minutes. You can see it. Sometimes on YouTube for 10 minutes. You can see it sometimes. Essentially, we live in an ungodly culture here in the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ is returning, and there are things he wants us to ready ourselves to receive him. Now, here's what Brother Hagin said long ago. He said, there must be a place of reverence and honor in our church. And of course, honor and respect for the word, the spirit of God, the things of God, and the church restored in our hearts and lives. Those things have to be stored here, inside of here. And he said, when reverence and honor are restored, there will be a restoration and a multiplication of the miraculous power of God. When reverence and honor are restored, there will be a restoration and multiplication of the miraculous power of God. And he sought the Lord one time, and he said, God, why is your plan for the church seem to have stalled? Why has your mighty outpouring that you promised and prophesied about delayed? And God pointed him to a deficiency in the area of honor. A deficiency in the area of honor. Now, here's the sobering truth. The great things we desire to see are held back due to not held back due to a lack of power. They're held back due to a lack of honor. Sometimes we want our kids to get better, get better. You know, things turn around, get on fire with God, get back into church. Could be an honor. Because he said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. If you lightly esteem me. Now, when he says me, he's talking about those seven things that we talked about before. Lightly esteem me. Because, you know, if you were 20 years, 30 years in the body of Christ and we're still unskillful in the word and we're still unskillful in prayer, we're not yielded to the Holy Spirit to help us grow in prayer, grow in godliness, grow in the grace of God, and grow in our faith. Come on now. Do we honor the word? Do we honor the Holy Spirit enough? Hallelujah. Look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 and through 10. I'll read it here. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Get an example here. I have loved you, says the Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for that. He says the same thing to us. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Now, isn't that disrespectful? Right off the bat, isn't that disrespectful? And you see married couples sometimes, you hear them, you say you love me, but you don't show it. Or you just doing it with your lips, or you just playing games. Or no, you don't. Well, that's been a long time since you said it. Why? Because in houses sometimes there's disrespect and honor. Remember, the word says, we just read it, Romans 12:10. Passion Translation, try to outdo each other in love, honor and respect. Be devoted to the brothers and sisters with love. But they started asking questions. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob have I loved and Esau I hated, because he was dishonoring. Esau was dishonoring. And laid waste his mountains and his heritage. So he's telling you, this law is in action, in motion, whether you want it to be or not. This honor law, this honor code. You even think about the Ten Commandments. What are they about? Five of them are about honor God. The first five. So he's just basically expanded it here in the New Testament. But the honor was, honor the Lord. Don't have no other gods before me. Don't create any graven images. No idols. You know, so the first five commandments are about honor God. Then we see honor the Sabbath. And then that means church day. Church time. That's how we should look at it. Church should be a priority, important priority. You honor my local family, my local church family. You honor that. Because that's where you receive. That's where you rest. That's where you get restored. That's where you get refreshed. Honor that. And then he says four things about honor others. Honor your spouse, mother and father. Right? Honor your mother and father. Praise God. He talks about honor each other. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't kill. Honor code. I was telling one of the politicians that was running for our district, one of our district council, city council positions. And he was trying to dazzle me with his biblical knowledge in a sense, by saying, you know, yeah, I said, well, I'm going to bring honor and integrity to the office. Okay. I said, well, did you ever study? And he tried to quote a few scriptures. Did you ever realize that the Ten Commandments are about honor? Can you give them to me? He couldn't give them to me. But, you know, I wasn't trying to make him feel bad. But I was just telling him, that's the God's honor code. So he took about my number and wanted to call me and talk to me. He said, man, that's good stuff. So, but I was telling him, honor has to be everywhere. God intended it for us to live in honor and grow in honor. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's keep reading. Verse 3 again. But Esau have I hated, and I've laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even so, Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. What was Edom? That was another dishonoring culture, community. They may build, but I will throw down. They may be called the territory of wilderness, wickedness, and the people against them whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. And then he goes into another angle here. He says in verse 6, a son honors his father, and his servant his master. If that then I am the father, where is my honor? Now, this was in the context of how they gave and their offerings, what they were bringing to church. And he said, says the Lord, you priest who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying words. Because sometimes we can withhold honor. Hey, we don't step across in dishonor, because that's too direct and too, you wouldn't dare do that. But you can withhold honor by not saying. God has charged every one of us to trust him on another level financially. That we have to give bigger and better. That's not just a charge. That's a calling. That's a challenge. Faith challenge for all of us. I didn't get, oh, thank you. Thank you. I got an amen over there. Okay. We say what? The table of the Lord is contemptible. We're talking ugly. Not just like they did in Malachi. He said, your words are stout against me. Because we can say, well, I'm going to tithe and I'm going to do it out of duty. But we get at home and talk about how our money's running out. And how our bank accounts are messed up. And how we got all these problems financially. Is that honoring God? You're telling God he's not a good father. That's disrespectful. To tell God he can't take care of you. I got to depend on the government. I got to depend on the system. Because God can't take care of me. That's not honorable. Everybody's quiet tonight. Okay. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you say, that's all I have, this is what I can't do anymore, don't expect anymore. And when you offer the lame and the sick, is that not evil? The leftovers. Their offering was pathetic. Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? This is the Lord talking. Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? By now, entreat God's favor that that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, he will accept you favorably. Says the Lord, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would have not kindled fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Everybody say, praise the Lord. And say, oh me, if it hits. And we said it last night. We said it Sunday night. We had to come with faith in our heart and say, you know, Lord, what's my part in the offering? Because you don't want to disrespect the Holy Spirit when he suggests to you this amount. Wow. Let me just muzzle the Holy Spirit. You know I can't afford that. You know I got this to pay. I remember watching, and we're going to continue this, so don't worry. I'm taking my time. Praise the Lord. Everybody good? So Bishop Butler was given an offering teaching for the Branson Victory Campaign. And he was talking about God always repays your generosity. I haven't seen him yet not take care of and honor folks who are generous. Now, like that song we sung a couple weeks in a row here, always on time. He's always on time. So Bishop Butler talks about time. He had $30 left in his front pocket. And he was in a ministry team in the street, and he said a lady was homeless and hungry, and she needed some food. And so he checked his spirit, which we all should do, because we all drive under these little turnarounds and thoroughfare, and you see homeless people, right? It's a challenge around here, right? And because you know the Bible says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord repays him. And so, the Holy Spirit, yeah, that's good. It's good. So he gave her his last $30. And he was newly married to Pastor Deborah Butler. And he went back and he said, Deborah. And he was a new, young. He didn't have a job. They didn't have any food. I just gave him my last $30. And she looked at him and said, okay. But the Lord's in it. Now, they were not people that begged or asked for handouts. I don't know. It's just the way he grew up. And he said his wife had 9 brothers. They knew he had their sister in a destitute situation. He said, I probably could have got beat up. But God always sees your heart, and he always assigns your harvest. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So they're sitting there rejoicing, and they're thinking, okay, what are we going to eat? What are we going to do? Who's at the door? One of the brothers in the church. He has a couple of bags, those brown paper packs bags. Where's the kitchen? He said, over there. He walks right by him. Okay, and he's like, we don't want to take any charity or handout. So you know, God was teaching him. I'm a good rewarder. I'm not a robber. Okay? And then the wife comes, knocks on the door. Where's the kitchen? She's got two armfuls full of groceries. And they went back outside, and he followed them outside, and he said they had a whole big old school station wagons. Anybody remember the old school station wagons? Old school station wagons. Seems like it had a bit more back seat. When you turn the corner, that back can was coming around. So he said it was full of groceries. They filled up the refrigerator. They filled up the pantry. They filled up the sink area full of clothes. So he's crying. Pastor Deborah's crying. And God told him, I rewarded him. As he walked out, the guy walked out, And he walked to the car. He said goodbye, hugged him, shook his hand, put an envelope in his hand. It was a couple hundred, $300. Now, this is back way back in the 70s. That's a lot of money, right? Somebody said, praise the Lord. God never forgets. And some people look at this and say, well, you know, why he's talking so ugly? Why is the Lord talking so crazy about their offering? Was the issue the animals that were decrepit or left over? What was the issue? Honor. Your giving doesn't honor me. And your words dishonor me and disrespect me. Whew. We must understand ranking and honor. Honor is required on our chain of authority and in our place of feeding. What is our place of feeding? The church. You can give honor, or you can withhold it, or you can go far extreme and dishonor. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you must honor, we must honor on our chain of authority and in our place of pleading. We must stay in faith and stay honoring. As we shared before, the gospel is in two parts. I'm getting ready to close here and just say the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. Everybody say the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. So the person of Jesus prepares you for eternity. The principle of Jesus prepare you for earth. The principles and the laws of honor help us live qualified for God to honor us on this earth. Now, the ultimate honor is the reward seat of Christ, or the Bible calls it judgment seat, but it's really a reward seat of Christ. That's the ultimate honor. When the Lord says, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Faithful also is synonymous and includes fruitful. That means I produced fruits of honor, things that honor the Lord in my life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The person of Jesus prepares you for eternity. The principle of Jesus prepares you for earth. The person of Jesus creates your peace. The principles of Jesus create your prosperity and foster your productivity in the kingdom and in life. There is no relationship between you loving God and your financial success. For example, atheists and heathens can hate and rebel against God, and there are billionaires that hate Christians, hate the church, hate the Jews. So a Christian can love God but be broke and lack in poverty, because prosperity is linked to laws. It's linked to principles. Psalms 112:1-3. Praise the Lord, you and how joyful it is to fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. Now notice those qualifiers in those verses. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. So 90% of our success is decided by knowing who and what to honor. And Jesus always said, I don't honor myself. Now, unfortunately, Christians do, because they talk about their three favorite people. But whether we live, we read the first verse earlier, whether we live, we are to honor the Lord. Whether we die, we are to honor the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord and we're his. So we give him all honor and all glory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So there is one difference between your present and your future. That is who you decide you will start honoring. And honor begins in your heart and at home. In your house and in this church house. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. And he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. See, returning your tithes and generously giving your offerings are acts and righteous rituals of honor. This is godly honor, pertaining to our riches and wealth. We can't get so far along in the kingdom where we felt, well, I got enough credits to now start dishonoring God and hold back what belongs to him. Well, God knows my heart. God knows I'm a Christian. He says you're violating the law. He's not going to break it. His covenant's not going to break. Praise the Lord. Leviticus 27, 30 and 32. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree that is the Lord, is holy to the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, or whether it passes through the rod, the tenth, it shall be holy to the Lord. Every dime of every dollar belongs to God. It's his. It's holy. It's to be returned to him as a ritual of honor. The tithe guarantees financial favor and the blessing of the Lord. Increase, income, ideas, inventions, investment opportunities. It's a guarantee of the covenant partnership at work with you and the Lord. So tithing and giving offerings is proof of your honor. And you have three choices. Withhold it. Do it, give it, give honor, show honor, or dishonor. And at that point, we will stop there. Y'all get something out of that today. And we'll pick it up on honor in our relationship next time on the 23rd. Praise God. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing back these truths and bringing back these insights into our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to step up to a new level of honor, to step up on our honor walk and our love walk. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now, we're going to pray for three people tonight after Pastor Cynthia comes, but those will be designated people we pray for. But if anybody needs prayer, she'll let you know as well. So come on up, Pastor Cynthia. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Oh, it's investment time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So while you are purposing in your heart what you should give tonight, I'm going to go over a few announcements. Hallelujah. Don't forget, coming up this month, April the 20th, we have Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. On that day, we will be having an egg hunt along with the hotel that we're in. So bring your kids out so that we can have a joyful time. Amen. And invite someone. Hallelujah. What better day than Resurrection Day for someone to come and come to the Lord? Amen. Or come back to the Lord. Mother's Day is coming up, May 11th. Hallelujah. We will celebrate and honor our mothers that day. Father's Day is June 15th. We're going to celebrate the dads too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you know a dad, get him in the church. Hallelujah. When you got a father that's in the church and worshiping God, guess what? The rest of the family will be there too. Amen. And ladies, get ready for Earlene Hill's Ladies Retreat. This year, it's open not just to RMAI ladies, but to every lady in our church. And it's going to be right here in San Antonio. We do not have to go out of town. We do not have to book a hotel. Hallelujah. But there is a non-refundable registration fee of $30. Hallelujah. The dates for the retreat is June 23rd through the 25th, and it is going to be at the at the Embassy Suites by Hilton, San Antonio Brooks Hotel and Spa, and that's on New Braunfels Avenue. Hallelujah. There is a deadline for registration. I don't have it on this paper. My paper is at home, so I will have it on Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank all of you guys for joining us tonight online. If it was your first time being with us, do me a solid. Text the word welcome to 210-941-3322 and let us know that you were online watching us tonight. And if you need prayer, text the word pray to that same number, 210-941-3322, and we will be happy to pray with you. And now it is investment time. It is time for us to honor God. Hallelujah. Pastor just read it. Amen. And I love the way he did it.